I had the best opening of a sermon ever based on last week's Ravens win. And now I have to change it after last night's Ravens win. What an unexpected victory yesterday, huh? We're in a series in Epiphany entitled Unexpected Grace. Unexpected Grace. And last week, I have to say, when I saw the replay of Ray Lewis's taking off his jersey, you remember what he had on his Under Armour shirt underneath his jersey?
Psalm 91.
Yeah, that's my life verse, Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I thought, man, that was an unexpected message for me last week. I did not expect to see Psalm 91 on national television yesterday, or last week. You see, as we go through and we're talking about unexpected grace, we're going to talk about the times and ways that God shows up in our lives when we didn't expect it. Mike Donahue did an amazing job talking about the Magi last week. Who would have thought that God is for the whole world? What an unexpected grace, right? And what's more amazing is that God wants to communicate his love for the world to us. Psalm 29 that Andy read talks about the voice of the Lord thunders and is powerful. Rocks split at his voice. You see, God is a God who speaks, who gives an unexpected message to an unsuspecting world. Let me stop for a minute. Has the voice of the Lord ever rocked your world? Or have you your whole life been totally deaf to what he's been saying? When's the last time the voice of the Lord rocked your world? You see, God speaks. He does. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. He speaks through his creation, through order. He speaks through his word. He prompts us and leads us and speaks to us by his Holy Spirit, as we read in Acts chapter 8. Are you listening to him? What would he say to you this morning? Perhaps an unexpected message? I was in Detroit for a funeral. Kristen and I flew out early, and we visited our fifth daughter. Some of you don't know we have a fifth daughter. One of our favorites, a neighbor who we adopted when her parents got divorced. Through a certain experiences, she came to Christ. She's been our nanny. She spends Christmases with us. And we visited her. We flew out on Thursday night, and she is a sophomore at the University of Michigan. We sat over a table on Thursday night, and she explained to us she had the privilege of leading someone to Christ. And she said, I couldn't believe God was speaking to my friend. He was a hardened atheist. He hated Christians. And I got to watch God speak to him. She kept saying, it was nothing I did. It was nothing I did. And any of us who are in the gospel work, we know it's never what we do. She was amazed that God had broken through this guy's life and spoken to him. Do you believe that God can speak to you? Now, when God speaks, it's always right and good and true and best. But it isn't always expected. Sometimes we think God's going to say one thing to us, and he comes in a back door and says the exact opposite. Our lectionary readings for today, which we're using throughout the entire Epiphany season, teach us about God's unexpected message. First, Isaiah 43. Very quickly, God's people, as you know, I say it almost every week, had rebelled, and they had been disciplined. God had brought the Babylonians in, and they were scattered. In the midst of that, you'd think that they'd be expecting a message of, if you don't get it right, if you don't turn back and start getting your life in order. Instead, what did God say to them? But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. I will redeem you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. When we're treated with grace, When we get an unexpected message of grace, when we deserve punishment, God's voice rocks our world. You see, I think some of you need to hear an unexpected message of grace. I would suspect many who don't step foot in a church, who know enough about God's moral law to know they deserve punishment for what they do, they know deep down. They don't need a preacher or anybody else telling them that things aren't right. And God comes in with an unexpected message of grace. It changes everything. Some of you, you've got secret sin. Some of you are walking around in shame. If people really knew who I was or what was going on or what I really believed, perhaps God wants to say to you, fear not. You are precious and honored in my sight. I can redeem you. You're mine. I was in high school when I heard that message, and it rocked my world. God loves me, a sinner, and does not pay me back for the sins I deserve. Some of you, your ears have been closed to God's unexpected message of grace. Then there's the Acts 8 reading, verses 14 to 17. The background, God has commanded his disciples to spread the resurrection news to the whole world. And what do? They disobey. They stay in Jerusalem, a little holy huddle. They go through their services. Things are exciting. But they don't think that those half-breeds, the Samaritans or anybody else, those pagan Gentiles, are worthy. And so they're kind of sitting in their holy huddle, experiencing God's grace and loving it. They didn't listen to the voice of the Lord. It wasn't unexpected. He said, go to all nations, baptizing them. So an unexpected persecution breaks out. Whether they like it or not, the church splits a little bit. They flee, and on their way, they got to pass through Samaria in their haste. Well, as they're there, they happen to just kind of be Christians and share the gospel message. And the Samaritans respond. These casual half-breeds who have one foot in God and one foot in the world, sound like anybody you know, who don't take God that seriously except for when they're in trouble, a la the woman at the well, John 4, are overblown with this message of grace. Well, the apostles who stayed in Jerusalem freak out. They said, we better send the head honchos to check this out. They send Peter and John, and they realize the Samaritans have responded to the gospel. But they're in danger, because while they believe in Jesus and they've received him, their lives have no power. And so John and Peter come with an unexpected message of power. Look what it says. And John and Peter prayed for them, and they received the Holy Spirit. John and Peter bring an unexpected message of power. Some of you are like the Samaritans. You have one foot in the world and one foot with God. But there's absolutely no God power in your life. No power to overcome sin. No power to love your enemies. No power to bridle in your selfish, childish emotions that erupt when you don't get your way. And God breaks into the Samaritans, sends John and Peter with this unexpected message of power. I was talking to another friend this weekend whose eldest son had rebelled against them. Christian family, amazing parents. Graduated from high school, and he was making a mess. They have six kids, and he was a toxic waste. A toxic force in the family. The mom goes on a prayer retreat and spends 2 hours in prayer beseeching God to have mercy on her wayward son, 18-year-old son. She experiences God in a new way. She wasn't messing around. Moms, you know, when your kids are hurting, you'll spend 2 hours in prayer and you will say, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. They're breaking my heart. And as she tells it, God met her. The power of the Holy Spirit came, not in some wacky, weird way, assured her, and there was a breakthrough in her own spirit. And she was assured that God was going to save her son. She came home, shared with her husband, it's going to be okay. Let's keep praying. God told me that he's going to have a radical turnaround. A few weeks later, the father made the decision to kick the son out of the house, to provide for him and say, here are three options of places you can go, but you cannot live here anymore. And the mom held on to a powerful experience in prayer that God was going to save her son. Well, that was about 2 years ago. And this past summer and fall, the son came back to the Lord, repented of his sin and came back to the Lord. He's now in a missionary training program. Hasn't been to college, but is seeking the Lord. And she said, you know, I'd never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in front of my family before that crisis. I'm no longer a casual Christian. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. He hears prayer, and I'm willing to spend more and more time. Some of you have no power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. In this epiphany, God is saying to you, look, this is not some wacky hocus-pocus turning you into some crazy person. This is real power for real life. Experiencing God's Spirit, joining in what he's doing, understanding what he's doing, being able to wait between his promise to heal your son and the 2 years later when he actually does it. An unexpected message of grace, an unexpected message of power. And then thirdly, Luke 3 gives us an unexpected message of truth. John the Baptist is experiencing unparalleled success. He's a national hero. Everybody's going, this guy's got to be the Messiah. Look what he's doing. Everybody's going to them. Herod brings him in for sermons. People are transformed. This is it. God's going to do it. He comes in with his first unexpected word of truth. Compared to the one who's coming, I am not even worthy to untie his shoes. What? There's someone better than John? For those of us in the Bible study, we know that Saul, as soon as he experiences victory, he puts a huge ode to me statue up in the country. Not John the Baptist. His success is coupled with an unwavering commitment to the message of truth that he was committed to, that he was there to serve Jesus and to make him look great. And so he rocks everybody's world. He doesn't tell them what they want to hear. They don't want to wait any longer. They've been waiting for hundreds of years for the Messiah. But he stays true to his mission. Then it gets worse. Some reporter from the Jerusalem Post throws a microphone in front of his face and says, oh, by the way, John the Baptist, before you go, continue your ministry. Listen, what do you think about Herod taking his brother's wife while his brother's still alive? No comment. Thank you very much. I got to go to the next revival meeting. Is that what he says? It's not what the text says. He said, taking your brother's wife and destroying your family is a sin against God. Well, are you saying King Herod's a sinner? That's exactly what I'm saying. And knowing John the Baptist, when he preached the good news, you have to wonder if his heart was breaking. Not for himself, because he knew his life was in danger, but because God's view of kingship was so much higher. Maybe he was praying that he would be used to turn Herod back to God. He was willing to say the hard word with love, and it got him killed. None of us like to be confronted with an unexpected word of truth, especially if we don't think it's in our best interests. You know that most non-Christians and skeptics accuse the church of being judgmental. They're afraid that when God gives them the hard word and tells them what they're doing is wrong, that they won't get the message of unexpected grace too. They react like Herod. They kill the messenger. Some of you and Simi, and I have to say I've gotten an unexpected word of truth recently. God wants to say to you, look, you're messing around with sin. You're selfish. You're destroying your family. There are patterns in your life that I've been letting go for years that are an abomination to me. And I want to speak an unexpected message of truth to you, just the way John would do it. No, I'd rather just the message of grace, God. That always comes. Remember, Jesus came with grace and truth. But sometimes he has to expose the sin first to be able to pour out the grace. Gosh, how many times does God use his word? Does he nudge us with his Holy Spirit? Maybe uses a spouse or a friend to say, are you sure you're walking in the right, in the light in this? And how many times do we say, I don't want to hear God's unexpected message of truth? This is a powerful word for our church. I think and I believe God wants to use our church for great things for his kingdom. And that doesn't have to be big numbers or big impact. That's about individuals responding to unexpected messages of grace, the unexpected message of power, and the hard, sometimes difficult, unexpected messages of truth. I want to encourage you today, as you've heard this sermon, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. And I want to encourage you, is God a God who still speaks today? Because if he is, he may have a word for your life. Others of you are walking around in shame. And today, God wants to say, Isaiah 43, fear not. You are precious and honored in my sight. I love you. You don't have to pay for your sin. You can come clean. You can walk in the light. I'll redeem you. I'll be with you through the waters. You need a message of unexpected grace. Will you receive it? You know it. He's speaking in your whole, by his Holy Spirit in your heart right now. You're saying, "Is it? Could it be true? Could he really love me enough to make it right?" Others of you, God wants to empower you. Sitting in the pews, living an ho-hum Christian life is not satisfying, and you're saying, Lord, I need more. And he's saying, I want to give you more of my Holy Spirit. Open your heart. Ask for more of my Holy Spirit. As Luke says, what good father won't give good gifts? Won't give the Holy Spirit. God's got more for you, and he wants to speak that. And others of you, he wants to say, look, I've got to speak a hard word. There are areas of your life that are killing you. I'm not speaking the hard word because I want to punish you. I want you to come clean and walk in spirit and in truth. Confession, maybe even today, is not just a road experience. It's crying out and saying, God, forgive me. Make it right. Pour out your grace and show me how to stop messing with sin. Oh, that today we would hearken to his unexpected message, this epiphany of grace, of power, and of truth. Lord, speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.